You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Ustad, as a listener says, respected Mufti Sahab, I was surprised when an attorney mentioned that a son, deceased, left a partial Sharia will, meaning that the father will only get his monthly utilities paid and nothing else. The deceased had properties and a business all in his name. What then is a fully compliant Sharia will? Ustad, could you please explain to me? Ustad.
Remember, my sister or brother, there is nothing in Islam like a partial will and so forth. The problem with the Ummah today, by and large, majority of the Muslims, Arab countries, Muslim countries, we in non-Muslim countries, what has happened is, Razi rahe Rahman bi, khush rahe Shaitan bi, people want to please Allah, but at the same time, they want to please Shaitan also, Lucifer, the Satan, and so forth. Remember that this Shaitaniyat, Islam teaches us a complete code of life. So now look at the situation. You say, no, this is partially Islamic. How can you be partially Islamic? Quran Kareem taught us regarding inheritance, the shares of the heirs are mentioned and enshrined in the noble Quran. Open Surah 4, Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verses 11, 12 and so forth. Then verses 13, 14 of Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, if we do things the proper method, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that is the supreme success. And when we do things incorrectly, partially and so forth, then listen to the warning and wa'id, which all Almighty Allah, wa'id is Arabic, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, whoever disobeys all Almighty Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ, they give somebody more, they give somebody less, and unilaterally they decrease somebody's share, disown somebody, yudkhilhu naran khalidan fiha, Allah dispatches that person to Jahannam and the hellfire, walahu azabun muheen, and for such a person will be, remember, a disgraceful, humiliating punishment. So what the attorney did, or the executor, or the heirs, they said that now Abu Abi Daddy is old, 70, 80, so we just take care of his utilities, pay the rental, pay water lights, pay phone account, pay this, and that's sufficient for him. Totally haram. He must inherit his share. Minimum share the father inherits is 1/6, just under 17% of the estate. So after burial, funeral expenses, after the debts of the deceased are paid, after wasiyah, what the testator had bequeathed to non-heirs, a person or organization, maximum 1/3 of the net estate, and then fourth one comes the shares of the heirs. So how can you do this? You, all the heirs are guilty. You, the executor, you are guilty. You, the attorney, lawyer, you, if you gave them this idea and told them partially Islamic, so all this A to Z, totally haram. So you must ensure all the heirs to leave the attorney's business now, and you make a redistribution properly, entirely according to Sharia. Then Almighty Allah will be pleased with you, and Allah will forgive your mother. Allah Ta'ala will let you take the du'as of your father. Like this, can you imagine? You, the sons, daughters, you are shortchanging your own biological father. What a great sin and grave sin that is. Can't we use our common sense? Common sense is no more common, you know.
So, Ustad, my son has fallen in love with a Muslim girl. He is 33 and she is 32. My son has approached her father that has refused her hand in marriage. No valid reason, dear Mufti Sahab. What advice can you give? And also, if possible, can you provide me with a cell number for Molana AK? That's you, Ustad. Very long story to explain on a message. Please, I would really appreciate it. I'm from Durban. My son is in Johannesburg. Ustad.
Remember that here there are three issues. First of all, in Islam, to say I fell in love with the girl, I fell in love with the boy, all that totally haram. And the Quran Sharif has mentioned it both ways. وَلَا مُتَّخِذِينَ أَخْدَانَ وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانَ. In Islam, there's no place for boyfriend and girlfriend. So it means you're met somewhere at work or at some mall or what have you. Your friends introduce introduced you to one another, and now you fell in love with her. She got blonde hair and green eyes, and mashallah, fair complexion. You say, I'm madly. He pulls the mud, you know, mud, M-A-D. And madly also, that is with the M-A-D. So in love with her. All this is shaitaniyat. Islam does not allow every moment you speak to one another, every moment you WhatsApp one another, emails flying to the females. All this is haram, my brother. And for you, the father, I don't know why you refuse, but if you refuse on this grounds, that why is your daughter eloping with this person, so use valid grounds that is. So remember, you must be very strict on this issue here. So that's one. Number two is this, long story, all that, my brother, I don't have time. And when people tell me about they want marital problems, domestic, I always tell them there's so many Islamic organizations, this Jamiat, that Jamiat, other organizations, you contact them, whoever you have confidence in. Third one, my advice to all of you, read Surah chapter 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh beloved Allah, grant us our spouses and progeny and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Now you, my brother, sever all ties with that lady. You, sister, sever all ties with him. Both of you start reading two rakat salat daily. Cry to Allah in sisda. Then you, the boy, speak to some ulama, some alim and so forth. Maybe who knows that girl's father, and he has some influence. And then in that way there, both of you now in your 30s, it's time for you to settle down in Islam. To procrastinate in marriage is not good. Then and nowadays the environment is toxic. So remember, both of you need to settle down. So that will be my advice, and never lose hope. Remember, in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Sister want to know if death and disability cover is considered insurance to start. Are we allowed to take it?
Remember that life insurance and so forth, meaning that the person dies and then the money goes to the beneficiaries, the heirs, that's haram. In months of duat, another months of bruat, meaning that he paid 100,000, 1 million, the payout is 2 million, 5 million. So all that extra money is what? Is interest, is haram, gambling. So therefore, life insurance all not permissible. Yes, you must remember, if your company, you're working somewhere, and they tell you that you must take out death insurance, this life insurance, or this type of disability, they make it compulsory, they pay for you, and so forth. So that will be part of your business, of your bonus, or your wages, and so forth. That's between them and you. So remember, but for you as a Muslim to go and take out this policy, totally haram. If you took it out, so you must know that how many premium you paid, 1 million, and your payout is 5 million. So the 1 million will go in the estate, the remainder you give to the poor and the needy and so forth. But why go through all these things? That which Muslim person today will leave the 3-4 million? They will say, man, just use it and so forth. We'll make tawbah. Every second person is looking for a loophole today. So therefore, we must be clear that this type of insurance totally haram and not permissible.
Dear Mufti Saab, I am very confused at what to follow. My mother is Christian and my father was Muslim. My father passed away when I was still a child, so I don't know much about the Muslim faith. I grew up very Christian, Catholic to be precise, but now I'm feeling very confused. I don't want to hurt my mom, but at the same time, I feel I need to honor my paternal side too. My name is Malcolm, Ustad.
My brother Malcolm, first and foremost, we say thank you for taking the time to contact us. We are here to help you, my brother Malcolm. My advice to you will be threefold. Number one is this, you must become a Muslim immediately. And remember that every person must realize his, her salvation lies in Islam. So that's my first message. Second one, your love for your mother, you stay with your mother, and that is what the Quran Sharif is teaching us, that even if the mother, father are non-Muslim, you stay with them, mingle with them, associate with them. Chapter number 31, verse number 15, huma fi dunya ma'rufa, and gradually you show her the beauty of Islam, no wine, no dine, no swine, and no boyfriend and all girlfriend business, that we are, and just go to BBC documentaries, podcasts, and this, they're not Muslims, but they're telling you where the world's media is trying to demonize Islam and Muslims, the rise of the crescent, that is the title of the podcast or the documentary. So the rise of the crescent, meaning Islam on the rise, and the decline and the fall of the cross. So you can see what they are telling you. Christianity is dying religion, remember that. So let us choose that which Almighty Allah has selected for us. Thereafter you must remember that if your mother says no, then you keep on crying, begging Almighty Allah, and don't feel shy, my brother Malcolm. You must say you are a Muslim. So wherever you are, go to the Imam, the Sheikh, some Maulana, whoever you know, Muslim friends, they will make you a Muslim, and inshallah that you follow Islam only. Now I'm going to a separate issue, totally separate, but good thing, my brother Malcolm, you brought it to my notice. We have received a letter from somebody and a certain organization, I will not mention their name, but the person wrote, for a person, Muslim male, to marry a Christian lady or a Jewess is permissible and so forth. First and foremost, we reject that totally. If you know Arabic, you must go to Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi's Fatawa Kitab, is one of the best fatwas he wrote, Al-Fatawa Al-Mu'asara, and even he's such a liberal scholar, but even he wrote, Fi Ayyamina Hadi, in these days here, remember to get married to a Jewish Christian, definitely not permissible for a Muslim male. Second one, if you know Urdu, then Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Grand Mufti of Pakistan, we met both Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi and Hazrat Mufti Sahib. So remember that Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi is living, and Mufti Sahib passed away in Shawwal 1976. So anyway, in Jawahirul Fiqh and that, and in Ma'ariful Quran, you will find the tafsir there under chapter 5, verse 5, that you cannot get married to a Jewess or a Christian. And remember, in time of Sayyidina Umar, he already told Sahaba that if you married to the Kitabiya Jewess or Christian, divorce her. Divorce her. What will happen to our Muslim ladies? What will happen to your children? Here, Malcolm is a perfect example that your father was Muslim. He married Christian lady, whatever advice he received. So he passed away Muslim. We make dua for him. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen.
But see the children, what happens to them. So that's a perfect example. So therefore, well, Malcolm, we are telling you, Malcolm, you welcome to Islam, my brother. And we pray for you. And please, I beg you, you must follow your father in this case and for your own salvation, and speak to your mother with love and respect, and don't impose it upon her, and show her the beauty of Islam, and you serve her, you live with her, and make sure you only consume that which is permissible in Islam.
Ustaz, is there a hadith that says we must read Surah Yasin when a person is about to die, and also at the grave side, Ustaz?
Remember that we belong to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we say Surah Yasin has so many virtues. Let me mention some of them to you. Man qara'a Yasin fi sadrin nahar qudiyat hawaijuhu. Whosoever reads Surah Yasin in the early part of the morning, before Fajr, after Fajr, before sunrise, after sunrise, whatever the case is, Allah Jalla wala will forgive, fulfill your needs for you for the day. The hadith in Darimi. Second one, you read Surah Yasin, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَلْبُ وَقَلْبُ الْقُرْآنِ Surah Yasin. Everything has a heart and a nucleus, and the nucleus and a heart of the noble Quran is Surah Yasin. You read Surah Yasin, chapter 36, comprises 83 verses. Once you receive the reward of 10 Quran Sharif, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, the person is muhtadar in Sakarat. He's going to leave this world now. So you read Surah Yasin, 100% permissible. Iqra Yasin ala mautakum. The hadith reported on the authority of Ma'qil bin Yasar in Musnad Ahmad, in Abu Dawood, in Ibn Majah. So we belong to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We say, why is that person in the sakarat, in the pains and pangs and throes of death, you read it that time. He or she passes away. day after death also you read it, totally permissible. And that is the fatwa verdict of the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanafis, Hanbalis. The only people who say no are today's Salafis, and that we reject them. And I have one dalil evidence for them. Till today they don't know how to answer it. When you study Salafis, then they love following Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. He was a great scholar, there's no doubt about it. But he made some serious mistakes as well. So he celebrated student, he is Hafiz Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. Hafiz Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah wrote a book, Kitab al-Ruh, which I have by me, the Arabic, page 17. In there this incident is written, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal visited the graveyard cemetery. He saw a person and noticed he was reading Surah Yasin. He told him, don't read. That person responded and said, this is the hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. You should read Surah Yasin for the deceased. He, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, asked him, did you hear this hadith yourself? He said, yes. He said, fine, go and read. So Hanbali say permissible, Shafi say, Maliki, Hanafi say. So what must we listen to you Salafis for? So you are zigzag people, sometimes you don't know what you are doing yourself. So you must remember the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi, authentic hadith. La tajtami ummati ala dwalala. This ummah will never agree on something that is astray. Remember this principle and law. Once you have ittifaq, consensus of the four schools, the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, Hanafis, on any issue, then remember that is Sharia and that will remain the Sharia. Three talaqs is three. But the Salafis, they count like the Christians. They say Trinity, that three is one and one is three. How can that be? So remember, three talaqs are three. Taraweeh is 20 rakats. They say 8 rakats. The socks we wear, the normal socks, cotton socks, nylon socks, all four schools say not permissible. They will say permissible. The sheikh said that. That sheikh don't mean nothing to us. Remember, we respect him, but when he or speaks against the four schools, then we say that fatwa, we reject it totally. Ka'in and man kan. We must defend the Sharia. We must defend Islam. Otherwise, you will find people, that is the problem with Salafis today, bilkul azad ho gaya. They have become free agents and freelancers. One leg in the east, one leg in the west. No topi, no hat, nothing. Standing like a goalkeeper in Salat. And they tell you they're reading Salat. So we reject all that, remember.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustaz, let's go to a student of Deen. Muallima Zahira says, dear Mufti Sahab, when the time came for the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to bury Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they wanted to take off Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Mubarak's clothes off. A voice was heard saying, they shouldn't. Whose voice did the Shura write it to be? Ustad.
Remember that when the Master Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise took place, it was a Monday, 12th Rabiul Awal. It was 11th year after the Hijrah, and in the Duha, 9-10 o'clock in the morning. So now so many issues. How do you perform Salatul Janaza? So after much consultation, it was decided everybody will perform it individually. So groups of 10 used to come. The men came, then the children came, the women came, everybody performed. Then before that, how the ghusl or how the clothing. So Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, you must remember that his voice came and told the Sahaba and so forth, this is what you need to do. Again, Mashura was held. Then where to bury Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, this is what I heard. Where a Nabi passes away, you bury him there. And this is the manaqib, the word choose of Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, it was her turn, her house, her room, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak Riq, and that is the saliva Mubarak of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the saliva of Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha, because she softened the miswak and gave it to the Master alayhi salam. So all this we accept and believe in it. So remember that, that is why we say that among the wives, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha and Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anhuma, their rank is the highest and greatest. And among the men, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, without a shadow of doubt. So that is what transpired and happened at that time.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see Sister Lillian says that, AK, I just heard you saying earlier on that Christian is a dying religion. So wasn't Prophet Jesus
a Christian? And don't you follow Prophet Jesus? Sister Lillian, Ustad.
My sister Lillian, thank you very much. We as Muslims believe from Prophet Adam, peace be upon him. Then you have Prophet Noah, you have Prophet Abraham, then you have Prophet Moses, Prophet Jesus. Everyone was a Muslim. No prophet came as a Jew, as a Christian. That is what the clergy, what your priest and what your pontiff and pope and them are teaching you. But none of them were Christians. None of them were a Jew and so forth. And this is clearly enshrined in the noble Quran. I just read for you one verse. Ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiya wala Nasraniya wala kinkana Hanifa Muslima. Prophet Abraham was not a Jew, nor was he a Christian, but he was a Muslim, and nor was he from the polytheist idol worshippers. Chapter number 3 and verse 67. So Jesus was a Muslim, submitting, surrendering to Almighty Allah. I pose one question to you, my sister, my mother Lillian, that you say that the Christians, when I say you, I mean the Christians, they say Jesus, Son of God. So it means he's part of the Trinity. So it means God, if you apply the rationale and the logic, so God was incomplete before the birth of Jesus. And you all say 25th December, which also is a fabrication. Then God, according to you, dies, you must remember, on the cross, the crucifixion, and that then is buried there in the Holy Sepulchre. A God dying? A God born? Who's running the world, my sister Lillian? So Jesus himself rejected all this. Remember, he believed in one Allah. He was a Muslim, and that was his message. So I give you and cite to you two verses of the noble Quran. You should read it, sister Lillian, and every Christian should read it. So in that way there, we understand what Jesus was teaching the people and so forth. So if you read, now I'm giving you chapter 5, Surah Maida, and verse number 109, right up to verse 118. Write it down, Sister Lillian. Chapter 5, that is Surah Maida, verses 109 to 118. And you will find the whole story there. Remember that he, Jesus, peace be upon him, was a prophet, was a Muslim, and never a Christian or anything of that sort. Never was Moses, the prophet, peace be upon him, a Jew. He was a Muslim. Then Jesus said, and remember, this is enshrined in the Quran and in the Bible and so forth, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولِي يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ. I am a messenger, but for a limited time and a specific place. The final international messenger will come for all times, all places. And what will be his name? Nami Mubarak Nagrami. So his Mubarak blessed name, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولِ يَعْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ. Jesus, peace be upon him, prophesied and told his people, see, I'm here for limited time, limited place and specific place. So chapter 61, verse number 6, the final messenger will come. His Mubarak blessed name will be Ahmad. Ahmad means I praise Almighty Allah the most in the entire creation. So that is Ahmad mentioned once in the noble Quran. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned four times. He, Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praised the most by Almighty Allah in the entire universe and creation. So that is what we are teaching and preaching. So every messenger came as a Muslim to teach people the oneness and uniqueness of Almighty Allah, and never did any prophet come and teach Trinity, or they are partners and sons or daughters of God. That never ever happened, my sister Lillian.
Sister Lillian says, thank you very much, A.K. Ustad.
You're welcome, my sister.
Ustad, assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti Sahab. My parents say they made a mistake where they buried my sister. They now want to take her body out from the current place she buried and want to bury her in Durban, where it is easy for my father to visit her grave. Please advise, because I told my parents That is wrong. They don't want to listen, Ustad.
It's totally haram now. I don't know where they buried your sister. Maybe she's buried here in Gauteng, Johannesburg, or maybe there in Ladysmith, Newcastle, or some other place. And now you want to exhume the body just for that reason. They're totally haram. And remember, you want to pray, so pray wherever you are. Almighty Allah is Qadir and Mutlak. He has all the power. And Almighty Allah will let the reward reach her wherever she is. So remember that for you to do this is waswasa and whisperings of shaitan. You lost your beloved daughter. Now you want to pray for her. Read Surah Yasin daily for all the marhumin deceased. We do that. Make the dua. Read the dua. Surah number 59 verse 100. So what is chapter 59 verse 100? Surah Hashr in the 28th part of the Noble Quran, 28th Supara. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive us. Forgive our brothers and sisters who passed away before us with Iman. Give out charity and so forth. So I beg you, Father, I don't know you. I don't know your family. I don't know where your daughter is. But what you are doing is practicing on the satanic waswasa and whisperings of shaitan. Totally haram for you to exhume your daughter's body and say, we'll take it to Durban and so forth. Definitely unacceptable.
So Mufti Sahib, my dad has passed on. Whilst alive, he set up a trust where he and my mom were only the trustees, Ustad. And the beneficiaries of the trust are the two daughters and the son, split equally. I understand anything on his personal name is split Islamically. But Mufti Sahib, what split applies to the trust?
Remember, the biggest mistake people make today, they establish the trust. And why are they establishing trust? For tax purposes, so they pay less tax. So till today we got no problem. That's fine. Second one is this, in Islam, you cannot have a perpetual trust. And you cannot dictate things from your grave. So your father, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. So now you have the trust. He passed away. So now it is the wife and the children and so forth, two daughters and one son. So now you say equal shares after death. That's totally haram, because that is going against what the Quran is teaching. So once the person passes away, that trust is finished, is dissolved. So you must remember that. So the trust is only valid while the person is living. Post death, that trust is finished. And more so in a case like that, where you are stipulating the sons and the daughters all must receive equally after your death. So that is totally haram. That is Surah 4 verse 14. وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا. You go against Almighty Allah. You go against Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You go beyond the limits. So now in a case like that, wife supposed to receive 12.5%. Then there's two daughters and one son. You're supposed to make four shares of that. Two shares for the son and one share for the daughter. He went to make three shares, one third of the remainder residue after the wife takes the 12.5%. So totally against the Quran. So therefore, three lessons here. A trust is valid whilst the person is alive. Once he dies, finish. You can't have a perpetual trust in Islam. It must be dissolved. Second one, to say and dictate from the grave that son and daughters must receive equally, totally haram. Everybody must know, whilst you're alive, you give sons and daughters equally. That's what Islam is teaching. But post death and after death, then the sons will receive 2-to-1, the ratio will be, and that's not some optional thing. Nay, it's mandatory and obligatory. Quran has made it clear. لِلْذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَزِّ الْأُنْسَيَيْنِ, chapter number 4, verse number 11. So therefore, you the heirs, you must do that which Quran Sharif and the Sunnah teaches us, and not what the trust is telling you. Now the trust is not worth the paper on which is written, you take it and throw it away, because after death you can't have a perpetual trust.
Ustad, just one more question quickly, Ustad, before we go for our interval. It says here, dear Honorable Mufti Sahib, I need to fill in a provident fund, beneficiary form, in the event something happens to me. I have a wife, two sons and a daughter. Needs to add up to 100%. Ustad,
So you must remember that you have one son and two daughters?
Gee, Ustad, it says here, has a wife, two sons and a daughter.
Right. So you must remember that if the Provident Fund is compulsory from your company side, so then you do it according to the Sharia and so forth. So that will be, for your wife, will be 12.5%. And then you got two sons and a daughter. So the remainder, you make five shares, two shares for your son and one share for your daughter. And then everything will be fine. There's no problem with that.
When it's time for our interval, we go for our interval, inshallah. When we come back, part two. Don't go away. Stay tuned. Listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Al Ansar and Sirius FM.